And welcome back, everyone. I hope everybody is excited about this new episode. And as you guys know, I am your host, Sam Jonas, and I am back. It's been a while since I actually posted the last podcast, and I kind of want to fill you guys in as to what has been going on since I recorded the last podcast. Now, if I am mistaken or not mistaken, I do believe that the last podcast was sometime around early 2019. From the best of my knowledge, I had posted a podcast and I was talking about drugs and alcohol and, you know, how I grew up in it. Well, I wanted to go ahead and shed some light on what has been going on since the last podcast. So, the last podcast that I made, I was still in transition between, was I going to continue living in Brownsville, Texas, or was I finally going to make the move and make the move to Austin, Texas? So ultimately, I went ahead and decided to go ahead and make the move to Austin, Texas. That happened December 1st, 2019. And I actually took a real risk coming to Austin. And, you know, there are prices to pay. And in life, you're going to have some situations come up. Well, during that time, I actually had a situation come up that really changed my life. Not in a very negative way, but in a very positive way. I started thinking differently. I just kind of started listening a little more, hearing hidden messages in music, and even just like in prayer, you know, I've been so entranced. So anyhow, well, on February 4th of 2020, my mother Patricia passed away at age 55 due to natural causes. Now, while I still disagree that those are the actual causes of her death, I don't understand why a 55-year-old woman who had never had, you know, high cholesterol or high blood pressure day in her life just dies at age 55. And, you know, I have some family members that are going to say one thing and I'm going to say another thing. And at the end of the day, the bottom line is the death certificate says it all. Okay. And that's pretty much where we stand right now with this situation. Now, of course, after someone passes, you would assume that your family's going to become a little more close-knit, more tight-niched. Well, what has happened is that there has been just a major disconnect between my grandparents and my mom's husband, you know, and we're talking, you know, these are my maternal grandparents. You know, they're 81 years old. I'm 39, and there's just been a real disconnect. And you know, I've had to go through and just kind of put myself in the foot of my other family members, just trying to think of what is going through all their minds right now, you know. And I've just come to the conclusion that, you know, things are going to happen in life. You're either going to accept them or you're going to turn them down. I, for one, had to accept most of what has happened. So with that being said, there's been a lot of disconnect in my family. I'm trying to work on them one by one, but there was I had a thought in mind the other day, and I asked someone, you know, when do you know you're living life? And, you know, I got a couple of responses, and then I ran into these teenagers today. Again, we're January 21st, 2020, over at the Zilker Park Pedestrian Bridge here in Austin, Texas. Now, if you guys follow me on my YouTube channel, which, by the way, I am working on my YouTube channel still and trying to get it up and running a little more. I need a lot of support from the public people. So, I mean, y'all's support would really help me out a lot while I'm trying to deal with some difficult times in my life. But anyhow, while I'm not here asking for money, I'm not trying to collect money from anybody. Things happen, okay? And one of the things that happens is that through everything that has been going on historically over the last 50 years, I have noticed we have become whores to corporate America. That's right, people. Let's take this COVID-19 virus that has just all of a sudden presented itself in 2019. Okay? You know, let's start off with this year. This is going to be a very historical election because, you know, this might be the first time in over 25 years that an incumbent does not win the presidency. That's right. If you look back historically since 1968, when President-elect Richard Nixon was voted into office back in 1968, you know, there was something going on in society, something significant, okay? And how does this get back to corporate America, you're asking, right? Okay, so let's start off with John F. Kennedy at the beginning of his presidential term in 1961. I believe sometime between 1961 and 1963, that's when they had the invasion of the Bay of Pigs. And of course, that started the Vietnam War. Now, my mother, having been born in 1964 at the time, actually rescued my grandfather from having to go to war. Yes, that's right. They had imposed a draft. However, if you were at a certain age back in those days and you had a child, there were certain things that would keep you from having to go to war. So I met this gentleman. This is back about 2003, and we worked together at one of the agencies that I used to work for. And I would say that back in 2003, he was about 49 or 50. He hadn't quite, or maybe he was just over 50. I don't remember, okay? Good man. Real tough man. But a man with moral standards and respect. He actually passed away in 2017. He was a disabled veteran of the Vietnam War. Okay. He worked throughout his life, various jobs from management to selling cars, to selling furniture, even to selling, you know, Kirby vacuum cleaners. He loved women. He really loved women. And he had a very strong moral standard. Now, okay, so he was a man whore. He was a man pig. Yes, he went after anything that had legs and breasts and a vagina. Leave it at that. So anyhow, he was a veteran of the Vietnam War. And when they started spraying the Agent Orange, you know, somewhere along the line, they had to know that all these men that you sprayed the Agent Orange on, it was going to have a lot of effect on them, okay? So if you guys can remember historically, okay, do any of y'all recall when all these Hair Club for Men companies started coming out? That's right, people. It was sometime around the late 1980s to mid 1990s. You had the Bosley Hair Club for men. I mean, you had all these products coming out, you know, so men could reduce their balding. So what was that about? It's a corporate America scam, okay? So you have all these men, okay, who have had Agent Orange sprayed on them, on top of their helmets, or they didn't have their helmets on, whatever the situation may have been, okay? Thing is, Agent Orange was sprayed in a way to boost corporate America years down the road. So these men that were in their 20s and their maybe late teens, around 1967, 68, through 1972, let's add on 30 years to that. So we are now in 2002, okay? So these men are in their late 40s, early 50s, they're balding. Well, guess what? It's not in their genes, okay? This is what I was told about balding, okay? You have dominant traits and you have recessive traits. You have heterozygous dominant, you have homozygous dominant. And then you have your recessive traits, which is pretty much just heterozygous recessive and homozygous recessive. So those are the recessive genes are more the weak genes, obviously. And then the dominant genes are, you know, they're what they are. They're the dominant genes. So anyhow, so let's just say you had a child in the late 1940s, mid-1940s even, okay? Now let's fast forward late 1960s, okay? All these men now are getting ready to go off to war, okay? Genetically speaking, there's no balding in their family. But wait a second. Years later, Agent Orange has affected their scalps. And guess what? Corporate America and Bosley and Hair Club for Men, all these people are getting your money because men want to look good. Okay? So that's one thing that I learned through the barbershop business. Okay? Men talk. Men want to look good because they're machismos. They want to look good in front of a woman, or they're trying to impress a woman. In some cases, they're trying to impress another man. Okay. Anyhow, so we're now in the 1990s. All these men are going bald, and you know they don't know what's going on. It's not from their family. So what do? They go to Hair Club for Men. That's one example. Okay. Here's another example. Let's go to COVID. Let's go back to COVID-19 for a second. Okay? Why is it that all of a sudden COVID-19 just disappeared after the murder of George Floyd? Well, I'm going to tell you why. Okay? It's corporate America, people. Yes. I was driving around Austin this past weekend, and I saw this car with a bumper sticker that said, Black Lives Matter. Well, guess what? Black Lives Matter is now grabbing your money, okay? And guess what? They're having bumper stickers printed. And who's having to print these people? Yes. Some corporate chain, or if you're lucky, you're able to find a mom and pop shop that can do it. Okay? So, all these signs are out now. Who's making money off the printing of these signs? Corporate America. Okay. Now, that hydrochlorothiazepine or thiazine, whatever that drug is that's supposed to reduce the symptoms of COVID-19, let's look at something different here, okay? Why all of a sudden is this hydrochlorothiazepine or thiopine, whatever it's called, why is it that all of a sudden that is able to help you maintain the symptoms of your COVID-19? Aha. Guess what? Pharmaceutical companies. That's right. You got GlaxoSmithKline Beckham. You've got all these different pharmaceuticals. Merck, just to name a couple. And I think Merck is the one that had the Vioxx. I don't even know if Merck is still around, but you have Tylenol. I mean, you have all these pharmaceuticals that are just capitalizing off the doctors and off the pharmacies. You know, for this hydrochlorothiazide. Sulfate, mind you. So you think about it. This money that, or let's not say this money, this drug that is supposed to help you maintain the symptoms of your COVID-19 is now able to help, quote unquote. So who's got your balls there, people? Corporate America. Because what are pharmaceuticals? They're corporate companies. Okay? Now, why are we horse to corporate America? We depend on corporate America a lot. And if you're in the private industry like I have been, or you know, you work for the private industry like I have over the last 20 years, you actually end up becoming very dependent on your job and on what you do. So I went to work for a major technology company as a contractor at the end of 2019. And my question is, why are we so dependent on corporate America? Why do people stay at their jobs and put up with all the bullshit they do and with all the supervisors that they've had to work with? People, it's corporate America. Corporate America is controlling the way we think. That's right. Look at it like this. Okay? You're 16, you're getting a first job. If you're lucky, you don't have to be flipping burgers at Burger King or cleaning toilets at McDonald's. But if you're lucky like I was, you're pulling up all the shit bags out of the women's stalls at a movie house. So anyhow, so look at it like this. Okay, so you're 16 years old, you want a first job. Well, you know, ordinarily, mom and pop operations don't have a way of being able to bring in a part-timer. Now, if it's someone that's like a family friend or something, yeah, you're probably going to get in. But guess what, people? That's not the case here. Because your first job that you get is actually with corporate America. That's right. My first job was working for a movie house down in Brownsville, Texas. Okay? And back then, there were three different movie houses. There was the Movies 10, the Movies at the Mall, and North Park Cinema. Now, I don't know why they ever called North Park Cinema North Park Cinema, but I could tell you something, people. It was definitely not in the north part of Brownsville. So getting back to that, you know, I worked at the Movies 10. My first job was with corporate America. So what did I know? Corporate America. So you become a slave to corporate America at a very young age. And we're not just talking at your first job. We're talking about you want toys. You want electronics. You want clothes. You want shoes. You want a car. You want all this stuff, okay? And I get it, people. I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with wanting. But what do you need? Okay? This is what I say. You don't need a fancy pair of shoes. Okay? And don't get me wrong, I like fancy shoes. But you don't need a fancy pair of shoes. Can you afford them? If you can afford them, buy them. If you can't afford them, hold off. Save some money. And so you become a slave very early in life to corporate America, okay? And we have made corporate America rich over the years. I mean, how many billions of dollars does GM make? Ford Motor Company. Let's talk about overseas companies like Toyota, Samsung, Sony, Mitsubishi. Let's come back to the American companies. Sharp is one of them. Magnavox is one of them, I believe. But, you know, there's so much control that corporate America has over our life that we never get away from corporate America. Let's go back 11 years now. 2009. We're just recovering from the financial crisis of 2008. So all of a sudden, you see gas prices drop to historic lows. I remember filling up my car one weekend, and I thought this was weird. Okay, my car has a 19-gallon tank, or at the time, had about, I shouldn't even say 19, about 18 gallons. And I remember going to the gas station. I had a quarter tank of gas, and I was going to fill up. I went in, paid $20. Well, it only took $9. Yeah, that's right. So we were in a crisis, and guess what? Now Exxon wants your money. Now Chevron wants your money. Texaco wants your money. All these major fuel entities want your money. So what do? They lower prices on gas, and then they turn around and say, hey, now we're going to fuck you. And then, well, you're happy paying 73, 74 cents a gallon for gas. Few months go by, you're paying $1.09, maybe $1.15 at the time. Until we were back at $2 a gallon. Well, we were so conditioned to our traveling, we were so conditioned to our driving habits, and all this stuff, that guess what? They raised the price. And yes, corporate America. Exxon raises the price on gas. OPEC has a lot to do with it. You know, but if you think about it, who's got control? It's the damn executives of these big companies. So, we had the financial crisis of 2009. Okay? Gas prices went to historic lows, then all of a sudden they went up. But in between this crisis, we have another problem going on. Okay? Then President Barack Obama wanted to get all these old cars off the road. He did the cash for clunkers. All you had to have was a car that got poor gas mileage, and you were getting $4,500 for it. And why, people? Yes, so you would trade your clunker in and go and buy a $40,000 or $50,000 car that you know you can't afford, but hey, I got $4,500. You know, I'm going to go buy myself a brand new truck at the time. I'm going to go buy myself a brand new Mercedes. Well, then, you know, it comes time to start making some payments on it, and you realize what you got yourself into. You're out your clunker now, and then 4 or 5 months into your contract, you can't even pay the car. So what happens? You get your car repossessed, and you're back at square one. Yes, people, it's corporate America. Because they are trying to find a way to continually profit off the American person. Okay, let's go to the Clinton crisis. Okay, everybody knows I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. Everybody remember that line? Well, we had the Clinton crisis come on. The National Enquirer, People, Star Magazine, all these different magazines were posting stories of the president. And why? Because it was the juiciest gossip at the time. To think Monica Lewinsky and President Clinton on the White House pool table, people. Come on. So you start buying all these magazines, and who's profiting off of you? Corporate America, because these printers definitely are going to be some type of a corporate entity. Okay? So what's the solution here, everybody? How do we not become whores to corporate America? Well, I'm going to tell you something. You have to start off with yourself. It starts with you. Okay? At a very early age, we're kind of prone to start becoming whores to corporate America, and this is why. Okay? You want a bike? You got to go to Walmart. Or you got to go to some fancy store to go buy a bike. Okay? And your parents go out, you're 5 or 6 years old, go, Mommy, Daddy, you're the best. They went and paid $50 for a little bike, 20-inch, okay? And to you, it's the best thing. To the parent, it's like, well, hey, wait a second. You know, we just had to spend 50 bucks on that. That's nothing. So, a few years back, I met these kids. And, well, I'll just go ahead and say it was my former sister-in-law. It was back around 2002 when she first started dating my brother. She moved in with him. And I, at the time, was able to afford a brand new car. That's right. Yeah, I mean, at an early age, I've been able to afford a lot of stuff. But in 2002, I took my then future sister-in-law out shopping with me. I had gone to go look at, I think I went to Michael's, I went to Walmart, and I went down to the Chevrolet dealership. Now in 2002, the hottest SUV on the market at that time was the Chevrolet Trailblazer. So I went to go look at one. It was a brand new one. I think back in those days, they were running around $26,000, $27,000. Now, you're lucky if you get an Acadia for under $50,000. So, anyhow, she's like, how much is this car? Because I really like it. You know, she's like, how much do you think it is? About $2,000? And I didn't understand at the time something. I didn't realize how uneducated this girl was, okay? You know, yeah, she was 18, but she lacked a lot of common knowledge. And when I went and showed her the price of the then 2002 Chevy Trailblazer, she didn't have any real expectation that a vehicle could cost that much. Well, for $2,000... you're lucky if you can get a 10-year-old used car. Maybe even a 15-year-old used car. Anyhow. So, she marries my brother. Learns what it's like to pay a car. She divorces my brother. And doesn't have any concept of money. Oh well, some people are just not made to understand things. So now we can fast forward a little bit more. So why is it that we're having a global pandemic right now? Why is it that we have all this nonsense going on? It is really because we have all become whores to corporate America. You know, with the stock market falling last year, and President Trump being the jackass he is, says that he's doing good for the economy. He's doing good for the American person. Well, you know, number one, Trump's just a jackass. If he has filed bankruptcy two or three times in his lifetime, what makes us think that he is fit to be the president of the United States? I don't understand this, people. I mean, we seriously have a problem here with our president, okay? And by the way, I have no problems identifying as an anti-Trump supporter. In the beginning, in 2015, when he had announced that he was going to run for president, I thought it was going to be a good idea because he was a businessman. And then I realized, he's a corporate businessman. So here we go. We have become whores to corporate America. And why? Because we have this dumbass of a president who cannot get his shit together. That's basically what it is. He cannot get his shit together. He's like, wrong, wrong. Everything you ask him, wrong. He throws people out of press conferences. I mean, do we not have this freedom of speech, Mr. President? You don't even deserve to be called Mr. President. So, in a sense, we're being stripped of one of our many amendments. You know, especially one of the first 10 amendments. And why? Because we continually allow ourselves to be whores for corporate America. And this is the solution. You know, we go and buy a new car every 5 years if we can. You know, I don't know any, I mean, I know people who have had their cars for 10 plus years. But, you know, people who are well-to-do, you know, they're going out and they're buying a car every 2 years. It's not necessary, people. All that we're doing is we're making corporate America rich. Why don't we turn around and stop putting money in corporate America's pocket? Let's put the money back in our pockets. You have an old looking car? Good. Go wash it. Go wax it. Go do some maintenance on it. It'll keep going. You just got to treat it right. You need to travel somewhere? It'll take you where you need to go. Just take care of it. You know, we've gotten so distant from repurposing. You know, I've been watching a lot of people on YouTube. More so, I follow people who are repurposing cars, auto rebuilders. In fact, Randy Shear from Auto Auction Rebuilds, he's someone I at least watch his videos once a day. What Randy likes to do, it's like he says, he buys junk. Okay. He is buying junk to repurpose it to make money. I'm sure everybody has heard a rich man's trash is a poor man's treasure. Yes, that is correct. So, a few days ago, I was walking around my apartment, and you know, every week I see things by the dumpster. For instance, the other day, I walked by the dumpster, and there was a 50-inch Panasonic TV. Well, I bring it in, I take a look at it, it turns out it's a smart TV. Guess what? All that's wrong with it is the power button. So you put a remote control in it, you maybe fix a switch here or there, and guess what? You just walked away with the free TV. Okay? A couple of weeks ago, I went to a thrift shop. And at the thrift shop, I found a Kirby vacuum cleaner. Okay? Now, not to harp on anybody or not to make fun of anybody, I bought the Kirby vacuum cleaner for... The price on it was $14. $14.91 to be exact. And guess what? It was 50% off day on the green tickets that day, and it had a green ticket on it. So I got myself probably what brand new is about $3,000 for probably almost 99% of a discount. And the reason why I say 99%, because, you know, there's that 1%. Hey, you know, 3,000, I believe that's $3. Yeah, because 300 is 10% of 3,000. So 1% is $3. So you think about it. I got that thing for almost 99% discount off of the new price. So I proceed to bring it home, take a look at it. And I remember 25 years ago when we had our Kirby vacuum cleaner. Okay? What did we do to it? Well, nothing really. Kirby's are like tanks. Okay? So, I bring it home. I take it apart. I check what's wrong with it. The bag's, you know, not completely full, but it's not completely empty. The self-propelled worked on it. Well, guess what? It was donated because it needed a $4 belt. People, we are throwing our stuff away faster than we can recycle it. You know, so I bring this Kirby home. So my initial plan was to spend about $15, $20 on it total. Having it marked down to almost nothing. Okay. Having it marked down to almost nothing. Plus a belt. I have retail a brand new vacuum cleaner worth $3,000. How much can I sell it for? I've been checking eBay. Do I want to sell it? I don't know. Maybe. Make someone make an offer. So, we haven't tried to repurpose our lives, people. Okay? We get a car. It breaks down automatically. We go buy a new one. Or, we take it to a corporate mechanic and have it fixed. You know, of course, again, when it comes to workmanship, yes, I do prefer to go to a corporate mechanic. No offense to my friends who are mechanics and own mom and pop operations. I respect you guys. You guys do good work. But I don't want to hold you guys liable for something that could possibly ruin our friendship. That's why sometimes I don't support small business. And sometimes I do. Sometimes, you know, I will wash my car myself. Other times, you know, because I live in an apartment complex and I like my car to be clean at least every day of the week, I would prefer just to go drive it to the car wash every other day and always have a nice clean car. Hell, I paid $25 a month for it. Divide that out by 30, it's less than $1 a day for me to have a clean car every day of the month. Even when it rains. So, I mean, in that sense, yeah, you do fall to corporate America a little bit. But you have to figure out if you're falling to corporate America wisely or if you're falling to corporate America foolishly. So next time, people, your children come up to you and say, hey, I want a Nintendo. Oh, I saw this. I saw that. Well, ask them, you know, why do you think you need it? Ask your child that question. Married couples. You know, when y'all decide, you know, like, hey, it's time to get a new car. Make sure you really need it. You know, I mean, if your car has 100,000 miles, people, like my car has over 100,000 miles, it's not a bad thing. Fix your car. Take care of it. It's going to take you where you need to go. You just got to take care of it. It's like a marriage. You know, having worked for a major technology company, I would say, you know, a lot of the devices are like humans. Sometimes they develop minds of their own. You know, and I think I just messed up my speech there, so you guys will have to forgive me. But yeah, I mean, some of these devices do have minds of their own. You know, and they act up. So yeah, I mean, in that case, you know, you do need to treat your machinery, your equipment, like it's a human being. But anyhow, about the repurposing, you know, one of the things that I have seen many YouTubers do is, you know, they go out and they buy, just say, a car. Any car. I'm going to use one example out there. I'm going to pick on the Goon Squad boys a little bit. It's either Billy and Tommy or Billy and Simon. I don't know exactly what their names are. But I have a lot of respect for those guys because they know how to repurpose. They know how to work. And if you were to have seen their channel when I started watching it sometime around about the last half of 2018, maybe, yeah, somewhere around 2018. They started off, they were working in this little tent, and I remember when I started watching their channel, they were working on the Chevrolet Corvette, I believe it was the Z06 or Z07. Anyhow, it was totaled out at 500 miles. So these guys got smart. We want a Corvette. Well, we don't have jobs. How are we gonna get a Corvette? Let's fix one. So, what do? They go to Copart, they get a Corvette, they fix it. So let's say that their initial investment on that Corvette was probably about $16,000-$17,000. Turned around and put about another $15,000-$20,000 into it. They got a $40,000 investment. They turned around, they sold it. So they made a profit on that Corvette. They repurposed something. Okay? Their Hellcat. They got a Dodge Hellcat. Dodge Hellcat, it's the Challenger Hellcat, actually. They retail somewhere, I believe, starting around like $75,000 or $80,000. But I mean, they're real cool cars. I mean, you know, that if I can get a Hellcat, you know, I'd like to have the Hellcat one day. But it's not like it's something that's on my bucket list. But they got a $22,000 Chrysler Hellcat that was totaled. They repurposed it. It looks like nothing had happened to it. You know, it looks like nothing has happened to it. And you wouldn't know they cut the quarter panel out of the car. You wouldn't know that they had to cut a frame rail off of another Challenger and put it on this Challenger. You wouldn't know that by looking at it one bit. But it's been, you know, it's a repurposed vehicle. And that's why I have a lot of respect for Billy and Simon or Billy and Tommy. And I want to say it's Billy and Simon because Thomas is their cat. They call him Thomas the Technician. And so what I have kind of figured out is that these boys, they don't wear fancy clothes. They're wearing their own shirts. Okay? Goon Squad. Different colors. They wear their own caps. I mean, yeah, so they wear Nike sandals and Nike slides. And, you know, I'm sure that they're wearing some type of a brand name short or whatever. But they work using their own stuff. That's why I really think that we need to push for small business to be more of a, we need to find more funding for small businessmen, so we can avoid our dependence on corporate America. Let's take my buddy Chino. He sells shirts. Okay. And I mean, they're not anything fancy. They're just either a polo with the Chino's Barbershop logo, or it's a t-shirt with the Chino's Barbershop logo. Well, I would rather pay Chino and wear his shirts than pay American Eagle or Tommy Hilfiger or Aeropostale or H&M or Hollister or any of these stores. I'd rather pay a small businessman because, number one, I'm going to help the small businessman by wearing his shirt, you know, that says Chino's Barbershop or Goon Squad. Another person that I like to help out a lot is Tanner Brongard. I like wearing his merchandise. He's a YouTuber. He has his own clothing line. FaZe Rug is another one. He has his own clothing line. Now, I mean, he's always buying Gucci left and right, but he is actually wearing his own clothing line at some point. And plus, I am sure Gucci's paying him to wear Gucci. I mean, let's face it. I mean, you're great, Brian, but you're not that great. So... But no, I'm just picking on Brian. I subscribe to Brian's channel and his brother, Brandon. That's FaZe Rug is Brian and Broadus is Brandon. Watch their channel sometime. I mean, these are ordinary people like you and me who took the time to create their own business. I mean, let's face it. Being a YouTuber is a business. Being a podcaster is a business. I mean, it's no different than any other business you're going to encounter. People, with that said, I'm going to end this episode today. I do want to let y'all know that I am going to be talking a little more in depth soon about ways to not become hoarse to corporate America. I will also be asking you guys to please hit up my YouTube channel. It is Sam Jonas on YouTube. And other than that, you know, I have some great plans coming up in the upcoming episodes. The next episode should be coming out in about a week. I will keep these episodes weekly now. But other than that, I just want to thank you guys so much for chiming in today. And don't forget to follow me on social media. I do have my Twitter account. Just type in Sam Jonas. You should find me. Any one of your social media outlets. You can also visit me on YouTube. Other than that, guys, I want to thank you guys so much again. And from Austin, Texas, y'all have a great one.